Blog Talk Radio.
Scales.
You're now listening to 13 Revolution Radio.
Turn me off. Cover your ears. Because you don't want to hear this kind of truth.
You ain't got time to be playing around. You got to learn all you possibly can to make it in this world.
We're exposing this thing today.
It's not the money that buys you a future. It's your skills that buy you a future.
And we ain't got no time to fool around with people who are just playing at this.
And now, here's your host, Minister Dawood Muhammad.
Depleting water gon' kill more people than 8Ks. Mess with your mental like watching porn in the 8th grade. Go get a girl, cornbread thick and homemade. We do this for the people suffering and underpaid. 5-year-old boy, 100 pounds overweight. They don't teach us about the credit scores and how they rate. We be boxed on the tables, watch our future fade. Daydreaming in class is what the teacher hate. High problems with anger and can't communicate. Been betrayed by society, so we dominate. Don't tell your mom you gang banging, she just want a baby. Maybe we can win a lotto, maybe God'll pay me. Turn into a zombie or get caught in a tsunami. Learn about the lessons all taught from Marcus Garvey. It's amazing how the matriarchy took the car keys. I just wanna build, take a trip in the RV. Turn into a zombie or get caught in a tsunami. Learn about the lessons all taught from Marcus Garvey. It's amazing how the matriarchy took the car keys. I just wanna build, take a trip in the RV. Look into the mind of a freeman that had to balance hard to get even. As above, so below is the season. 360 degrees of completion. I wish I could escape to a planet in stellar. Cause the planet be small like the mucus of a caterpillar. Still amazed by Egyptian hieroglyphic architecture. Step out of the road, step forth by your oppressor. Pound on the ground like a juggernaut, ego tester. Never wearing polyester, only to find the textures. Egyptian cotton, you're a shepherd, I'm a knotten. I'm the lesson, I eat fools like you for breakfast. Your professor is racist. The land is cultivated, taken seized by a rapist. But you still turn on the TV, watching the Lakers. Money's everything in the eye of the maker. But have the maker try to make a soul, nigga. That's what I thought. First came the thought, and then came the all. And then came my niggas, cause they all wanna ball. Turn into a zombie or get caught in a tsunami. Learn about the lessons all taught from Marcus Garvey. It's amazing how the matriarchy took the car keys. I just wanna build, take a trip in the RV. Turn into a zombie or get caught in a tsunami. Learn about the lessons all taught from Marcus Garvey. It's amazing how the matriarchy took the car keys. I just wanna build, take a trip in the RV.
I just wanna chill.
Assalamu alaikum. In the name of Allah, the King, the Person, the Master, Fraud, Muhammad, I bear witness there's no God but Allah. I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the last and greatest messenger. I myself can never thank Allah enough for my teacher, Minister Linwood X. I greet you once again with the green words of peace of Assalamu alaikum. It is my humble pleasure and my honor to be here once again on these esteemed airways of Blog Talk Radio, of which so many have come before me and so many will come after me, to be have the blessing and opportunity to share the life-giving message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in most cases to share the message of revolution, reconstruction, renaissance, and land infrastructure and nationhood. It is my pleasure and honor to be here to give the platform to many voices that I believe that brothers and sisters should hear. Understand, brothers and sisters, that my interests in life are very diverse. And so sometimes I may have people that come on and they may speak about mental health. Sometimes I may have people come on and speak about health itself. Or sometimes I may have people come on and they may speak about protection. They may speak about organized revolution. They may speak about nationhood. But tonight, for me, I want to enjoy hearing the life-giving message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad from a scientific, historic, and research perspective. Because, you know, there are many holes that people have left in the understanding of the message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad over the years. And maybe because certain information was not available and sometimes certain things were not basically understood by many people, we are now filling in so many gaps. We are now able to understand so much more, and we are now able to make so much more comparative study. And so, therefore, it is my duty as a minister and follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who loves the teaching and believes in a progressive way of dealing with it, it's my duty to bring upon those who think like me and are forward-thinking, because as I was speaking to my dear brother literally an hour ago, Brother Arnur, you know, brothers and sisters, there are so many of us who will be left behind because we have not tried to find out more and more about what we believe in and turn it from belief to knowing. And so, therefore, you may hear certain people, and they sound the same the way they've been sounding for so many different years. I'm not going to say that I can't stand that or hate that, but I just don't, I just don't support that and keep that in my sight. And so, therefore, my good brother that I'm going to have on the show tonight is a brother I have the utmost respect for, high respect, not because I'm following him or because I may be just like, you know, I like the sound of his voice, but this is a brother that does verifiable research, a brother that has done a lot of independent reading, thinking, reflecting, and through prayer, fasting, and the understanding given to him by Almighty Allah, brings a lot of good perspective and fresh perspective to what you know as a message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And for me, that is what I want to promote all day. So with that, it is my pleasure and my humble honor to bring forward my dear brother, my good brother, Brother Kalu Allah. Brother, my brother, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, all praises due to Allah, my brother. Can you please, well, first of all, salam Allah, big brother.
Allah, salam, big brother. How you doing, brother minister?
Oh, everything is fantastic, brother. Just racing home from, you know, groceries and other things like that and trying to get back here after I did the service call. And a lot willing that we would have this show because I was not going to let anything stand between. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. All praise due to Allah, the personal master, for my honor and the messenger. I'm doing great.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay, so before we get into what we're going to get into, can you give the people a brief basically a brief synopsis of you, you know, with your background, and basically just give them a synopsis of you.
Yes, sir. First and foremost, I'm a representative of the Law Temple of Islam in the ranks of with Brother Prime Minister Ali for Law, manifest himself as the Supreme Angels. Other Law Master for Muhammad, not that that means that that secludes us to be the top and utmost out of all of the FRA, but just to mean that we are the angels of the Law Master for Muhammad, as anyone who believes in the teachings of Master for Muhammad and his messenger. We aim to prove the teachings in its full value out of the stages of belief, which many individuals dwell on. And unfortunately, when you deal strictly with belief, then eventually it can be shaken and eventually you can be removed from the very post that you might have held dear at one time. And, you know, I've been blessed, you know, by Allah to be able to have the opportunity to study. My lifestyle sets me up in order for me to study a lot, to prove the teachings from a more scientific and a historical perspective.
Right.
So I come as a minister from the ranks of the Allah Temple of Islam and the Supreme Angels. And first and foremost, I'd like to greet you, of course, Brother Minister, and I'm thankful for you allowing me on your show today. And I'm kind of excited. I'm definitely excited. And I'd like to greet everyone who is listening in with the greeting words of the gods. Salam Allah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My name.
Okay, well, I guess the first question I want to ask you is, because this is something I'm familiar with from being in harmony with you and a lot of the good brothers. Some people may not be familiar with the terminology or the use of Salam Allah. So can you please tell the people why you use that greeting in contrast to Assalamu Alaikum?
Well, first and foremost, I like to say it's not that we're necessary. A lot of people have accuses of changing the teachings because you greet with Salam Allah. However,
right.
The same individuals will greet you, peace God.
Right.
Now, which is very interesting, you know, that we will greet peace God, and that's not changing the teachings, but greeting Salam Allah is. Well, inside of an article
right.
entitled Peace and Contentment by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that when we say peace God, we are acknowledging the very nature of our being.
Right.
So, with that said, we felt that it was not a replacement of the greeting of Assalamu Alaikum, but it
right.
is more a presence to institute the invocation of the reality of our nature and ourselves by such a greeting.
Right.
The reason why we use it, because the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that in the hereafter we will no longer use the bastard language of English, but that we will use Arabic. The Most
right,
Honorable
right,
Elijah Muhammad
right.
then taught us that some of his followers was in the hereafter now because they understood.
Yes.
So the greeting of Salam Allah is the acknowledgement of our nature and to evoke within each individual the presence of their divine reality outside of the reality that the ego has forced to preoccupy their existence. Mm-hmm. And in reality, to look beyond the illusion and to the pure essence of the reality and quintessential force for which governs their very being. And that
yes,
is what they are by nature, and that is Allah. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, and our Savior has arrived, that when we say gods, he said that, remember, Allah means gods.
Right.
He said, all Muslims are Allahs.
Right.
Which is very
right.
important. All Muslims are Allahs. For
right.
those who may not understand that deeper context, when the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad defined Muslim, you have the definition of Muslim, for which is used for the majority of the body of the Islamic world. And then you have the understanding of what a Muslim is from the level of a God.
Right.
A Muslim from the level of a God is one who has found union with the divinity of his nature in the world of the lesser and higher ego, has been suited for the higher purposes of their being. It is the transformation of lower vibratory rate of thinking and activity into a higher state of existence and consciousness, permeating the very essence of our very nature and being, and thus bringing forth the full reality of the divinity of ourselves.
Yes, sir.
So, when I see Muslim, you have levels and you have stages. As the Holy Quran teaches us, when you see Allah come with his angels, ranks upon ranks. Ranks upon ranks means levels of understanding.
That's right.
So if it's coming with levels of understanding, there are some on different levels of understanding that will conceptualize Muslim as one that is a servant to something that they believe is greater than themselves, which I understand that if we're using it in a religious context. But in a thoughtful context, there is nothing greater than yourself other than yourself. In no reality can anything be greater than you, since all that is you.
Right, that's right.
So that's not denying, of course, the Supreme Allah, as for Muhammad, but it is to
right.
understand that he is rooted in us all. And
right.
if our government, in following his reality, does not make you look in the mirror and see the supremacy of yourself, then your Savior hasn't arrived.
Right. That's right.
So that's why the greeting of Salam Allah is so important at this time, is to reactivate within the God squad the reality of who and what they are. That's it. You know,
yes,
it's better than saying peace, God.
Right.
Even though I accept it, but why not Salam Allah? Why say peace, God? I mean, It's still a great mother of the heavens, you know?
Right, right, right. I mean, one, you know, one suffices, but the other one is the full complete way. I get you.
Yes, sir.
So here, when you were speaking, you brought me, because, I mean, there's many questions that we're going to ask tonight, but one of the things that when you were speaking, you brought me to a topic that I saw brought great controversy in one of the groups that you and I are a part of. There seems to be a lot of contention over the word submission. Now, we know that the word Muslim means one who has submitted his will to do the will of Allah and enters into peace. And some people believe that submission is basically saying that you are putting yourself under a mystery god, it's weak. Can you please speak to that and speak to that from the perspective of the teaching of Elijah Muhammad?
Yeah, sure. When we use the terminology submit, let's take and use a word, you know, the transliteration of words from one point to another sometimes takes the effect of what something actually represents.
Right.
When we use the terminology, let's say we destroyed something such as energy, like from one phase to another, you don't actually destroy anything. Energy is forever, right?
Right.
So it's in reality, it's just a transfiguration, a transmutation from one state to another. And that is the same way. With inside a man, you have two forms of egos. We have the lower ego and we have a higher ego. We have a divine aspect of ourselves, and we have a lower aspect of ourselves. Many of us follow the lower aspect of ourselves, and we are constantly in war with the higher reality, the lower aspect of ourselves, to develop the will to follow the level of our consciousness and to the higher states of our existence. So when we're talking about submit, let's remove the word submit. Let's remove the word submit and replace the word submit with a state of meaning to become in union with, or to then use the higher forces of our essence of our being against the lower forces of our being. So in that manner, it creates one whole person. It creates a union. If we were speaking of the Kabbalah, and in that nature, then you have your lower Neshama and your higher Neshama. So therefore, the higher Neshama is that for which is the higher state of the being. And then you have your lower Neshama, for which deals with the guf in those stages of development when man is trapped within the carnal essences of his being.
Right, right, right.
So we're in a constant state of development. That's why the Holy Quran teaches us that when a man or a person conscious awakens, then his judgment day has begun. So I wouldn't get caught up into the usage of the word submission. I would really try to just understand what is being said, because the same individuals who caught up in that word, it's just an ego thing. Because them same individuals who smoke cigarettes, them same individuals who drink, them same individuals who be lustful running in the streets, them same individuals who be doing all of those things. So they submit to something other than their divine will all the time.
Right.
They submit to wake up and smoke a cigarette. They submit to get up and go drink. Some submit to get up and go snort coke. You submit to something. Is it greater than yourself? It's greater than yourself if you made it greater than yourself.
That's right, brother. That's right. I mean, either you are making something submit to you or you are submitting to something, and that's life is in a constant flow of that.
Yeah, it's just an acknowledgement between the two. It's just an acknowledgement. And an understanding the word submission, just remove it. Understand it from the level that you understand it to be. And understand it from the level that we understand it to be. From the level where we understand it to be, we would see it in the essence of just the transmutation of the lower energies into the higher energies.
Right.
When the war between man and himself ends, because we're definitely in war. We listen to the conscience of our mind. We get into something. They tell us not to do something. We argue with the very conscience of our minds to do it anyway. And every time we do it, we suffer consequences. So that's the divinity of the nature, you know. So we enter into that all the time. I just think that that's an ego thing. And if people approach it from a more mature perspective, then the argument wouldn't even exist.
That's right.
It wouldn't even exist. It's just, It's just immaturity. It's just the ego, that's all.
Right. If you're just tuning in, brothers and sisters, this is my good brother, Brother Khalil Allah, from Allah's Temple of Islam, and a great brother, and a brother that I'm very honored to have on my show for the second time, not the first time. And we're going to go into the teaching on Elijah Muhammad today and answer some questions that many of you have or have seen, but may not, have gotten answers to. Tonight you're going to get your answers. And so when we talk about being mature, and we're talking about looking at things from a grown-up perspective, one of the things that you spoke to me about and we were discussing was the science of man. We were talking about the science of man, the science of the made man in opposed to the original man and how he came to be. Now, there's a lot of different theories being posited by the conscious community at this particular time, and a lot of them are averse to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught. Some talking about the Ice Age, some talking about great explosions and things like that. So our lessons teach us that the original man is the God and owner of the earth and knows every square inch of it and has chosen for himself the best part. He did not care about the poor part. Can you please speak to this situation and talk about what exactly happened years ago to make a made man from the original man?
Well, we always must use the basis of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to develop our temple of knowledge. It's
right.
It's mandatory.
Right.
So the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us about Yaqub, and he teaches us about Yaqub while he was 6 years old playing with two pieces of scale. He discovered that one part had, repelling powers, and the other one had attraction powers.
Right.
He goes on into the story and talks about in skipping that Yaqub took 59,999 people with him to the island of Patmos. And he teaches us that while he was there on that island, that he started a state of selective breeding in which he married the darker with the darker and the lighter with the lighter until eventually he grafted what would be called a white man.
Right.
However, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Yaqub didn't live to see a white man. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that he lived only to be the age of 152 years old. In standardized papers, they say 150, but if you were to read, I would say, the history of the Nation of Islam and also some lectures from Malcolm X, he says 152.
Yes, sir.
So, from Minister Malcolm X, we ought to salute officers and standards, not case, period.
Right.
All right.
Right.
So, that's number one of training rules of Islam, FOI training rules.
Right.
So, the main thing is that in understanding Yaqub and what actually took place with Yaqub, which I'm pretty sure this is going to have to be a long, ongoing discussion regarding the subject matter.
Yes, sir.
There are many stories for which has been presented in regarding Yaqub. Some of these stories is that Yaqub never even existed, which is an interesting story, and I would say that an individual of such a nature and status should study a little bit more before they come to such a conclusion.
Right.
There has been great work in research to discover certain things, and Yaqub as a god is one of a form of study that has been hidden.
Mm-hmm.
But you have had many professors and giants of archaeology that have been able to find that Yaqub was actually a physical man. One of the things that we have to come to understand is this, that black people, let's take the story of, let's take Tahuti, and let's take what he stated, that you study the unknown to learn the known.
Right.
Majority of people, and that's even those within inside of the Nation of Islam, and I must use something from the, I had looked at a video of Big Brother Minister Farrakhan, regardless of how people feel about him, that's your theory, and it's okay. And but he was making a statement, and the God was talking to the brothers and sisters of the MUI, and he said, some of you won't even teach on the story of Yaqub. And the reason why is that is they can't defend it, and most of them do not believe it. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us inside of an article called The History of Yaqub that two heavenly bodies collided at the time of the conception of Yaqub, and this was under the conditions that he was born. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that Yaqub was born with 8 ounces of brain. And he called him, he said that he was called the big-headed scientist. But the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, throughout his life, actually began to teach the understanding of what that actually represented.
Right.
So you have many people that takes a part of Yaqub, and they would say, the wicked scientist and all of that. The messenger never said that he was a wicked scientist.
What he did,
when he stated that he had a big head, it meant that he was very wise and that he had big brains, meaning that he was a very intelligent individual.
Yes, sir.
But when you look at something that has a big head, what else comes into focus? If something has a big head, it means they have a mighty ego.
Mm-hmm.
They are arrogant.
Yes, sir.
So when we're thinking of Yaqub, there are levels that you think of Yaqub as a man. Then you have to see the story of Yaqub as not only a personal man, but a man himself.
Mm.
When you begin to see Yaqub as man himself beyond the actual literal personage, then you have the ability to circumvent the ignorance for which many think is entailed in the myth. When in reality, myth and folklore actually gives you the answer of historical, social, economic, biological, and astronomical facts.
Right.
I always say that throughout my studies, some may agree, some may disagree, but in my studies, every god that black people has ever had throughout the eons of time has always existed as men and women first. Those individuals die, people take on the reality of giving them attributes, and during the time of study and research over time of different rulers and kings, they apply to these particular individuals biological mythos, astronomical mythos, and things of that nature to explain the phenomenon, because that individual, though at one time was a person, no longer is just a representative, but then becomes the a archetype, of different phenomena, and that's what begins to occur. It's like dealing with Asar. Asar was considered the green one, but he was a black man. You have the name Asar being used in ancient Egypt. You have the same name Asar being used in ancient Sumer. And though Asar may mean heights, and Asar might be associated with vegetation, but it would be logical that Asar would be associated as the man in his physical lifetime that he was, because he was known to teach the ancient Egyptians in the pre-dynastic stage and ages how to cultivate the earth and things of that nature. And then he went up, if we were to follow the works of different Greek historians, traveled up and started to, you know, founded two civilizations, Siam and Nisa, and he founded those up in those particular regions. If we look at the workings of Emil, if we look at the works of Emil, I forgot his last name, but Emil had wrote where he found the actual tomb of Osiris. This has been supported by individuals such as Dr. Ivan Van Sertima cited him. William Chancellor has cited him. You have the great Sheikh Anti Diop has cited him. And you have all of this all setting it forth that this was a physical man. In fact, Diop has went all the way to the point that he made a statement that no longer can we say that Osiris was a myth. He said it is now proven that he was actually an African or a black man.
Right.
So when we look at the histories of our documents, what it becomes a mythos to the Caucasian man was a historical fact in ancients of time. But because we get caught up in approaching it from a way that we can't understand or what we cannot believe, we then accept the spiritual connotation beyond the literal connotation, understand that the spiritual is the byproduct of the literal.
Right.
And that is the same thing that is happening here.
Right.
In regards
right.
to Yaku. Okay. So
yes,
I have a lot of sites, but I will only deal with it from certain perspectives because I'm writing something on it. But I'll give one. In the American Journal of Theology, Volume 8, there's an individual in there by the name of Dr. Pinches. He did great research on the patriarchs, and he spoke about Jacob. And what he realized is that the name Yaqub is mentioned not only in ancient Kemet, but the name Yaqub is also mentioned in the dynasties of Babylon, and was pretty much a common name that was used during that time period. Okay?
Sure.
Now, in the tablets, you have different names. You have Yaqubu, Yaqubai, you have Yaqub Elu, and Yaqub Elu. Whenever you see the Elu, it pretty much means like God. So it will be
right.
saying that like Yaqub the God. Okay? Inside of a book written by a man by the name of Flinders Petrie, the name of it is called The Making of Egypt. Inside of that book, Flinders Petrie, which I've discovered that looking through the book stacks in Philadelphia Free Library, in fact, that book is not even sitting on the shelves. You have to literally find them book stacks. They have to get it for you from the from one of their rooms. I noticed that what Flinders Petrie was referencing, he said that, you know, they had spoken of Yaqub, and he said that the Hyksos had brought with them several gods. Sutek was one of the gods of which they wound up dropping him because of his attributes being so similar with that of the Kemetic deity Set. But then he
right.
made a statement that was very interesting that stood out. He said, and they brought with them, and he put capital letters, the god Yaqub. So what it did give was that there was an individual, when you see Yaqub Her and Yaqub Baba and all of those names, these individuals was naming themselves after their god.
Right, right, right.
It was not. It wasn't the other way around. They was naming themselves after their own god. So, Mr. Petrie, of which many people like to attack, but his archaeological findings and documentation is unprecedented. It's great work. Whether if you challenge certain forms of his translation, you could challenge the certain forms of translation, but we have about 10 to 15 different individuals that have translated the same thing and came up with the same exact answer. Okay?
Wow.
So it's not just dealing with one individual. We're dealing with a whole scope of things, okay? So in when you study the religion of Canaan, you will find study the use of the word Yaqub being used all throughout of that time period, okay? So they
right.
had, let's take Aurelius, Balakabas. Now him, he came from out of Greece, right? But he literally was a worshiper of Baal Yaqub. He worshiped a god by the name of Yaqub, okay? All the way
right.
down, I mean, in Roman times, he was still worshiping a god by the name of Yaqub. And, in fact, they had it on the back of a scarab that they have found. You had a king by the name of Yekeba who was inscribed on it. Now, I'm going to read something that I wrote, and I have way more documentation to support it. Petrie states that the name Yekeb, being written with exactly the same signs as in the list of Thutmose III, shows that this king Yekeb was a foreign invader of the age of the foreigner Kayan, as the types of his scarabs are identical with those of the other invader. Who was this other invader with the name Yaqub that Petrie is referencing? This foreigner is no other than Yaqub Her. Petrie states that this invader ruled around the 9th to 10th dynasty, or about 3100 BC, in regard to the foreigner placement of the name Her as a suffix to the name Yaqub. Petrie states that her in the end of the king's name perhaps refers to the mountain on which Yaqub was worshipped. So he would be considered Yaqub of the hill. Now, this is interesting. Because when you see the earlier writings of scriptures and patriarchs and documents of that nature, you find that Jacob was a god that was worshipped not only by the Hyksos, but was also worshipped by the Heberu. And that this Yaqub or Jacob, they state in their documents that Jacob, who was actually Yaqub, was the individual that in order for them to keep the worship or the hidden worship of their god, Yaqub, they hid him by making him an ancestor in the Bible. So the Jacob that is in the Bible was an individual that was fictitious that they put into the Bible to hide their worship of an individual by the name of Yaqub.
Yaqub, that's right.
So this is some of their own documentation and what they have presented. This is not like something that I'm making up because of a belief. Whenever I study, I don't study from a belief set. Now I attack the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaching, calling it a lie the entire time that I'm studying it myself in order to bring balance when I read the teachings. Because if you're going to find it, if they have truth in them, then the truth will be born. If they don't, then the truth will show, then the lie will manifest from it. It just so happens
right.
The lie is not manifested and the truth is real. You see?
Right, right.
So
yes,
I stand upon that and I submit with that. Okay? So, Petrie didn't have a problem with the acceptance that there was, in fact, a god by the name of Yaqub. In fact, during that time period, they argued against Petrie. And Petrie brought it up inside of the academy that of documentation that an individual by the name of Yaqub actually physically lived. So I'm going to just bring up a little bit of that and just for people to know that, you know, who the man was.
Yes, sir.
And the documentation
yes,
of him. So the problem is that if we take certain aspects of individuals, because scientists have proven, National Geographic has proven, that in some form or fashion, that in order for change to occur biologically to present a new color, such as a white person, that must come about only by the stages of what we would say selective breeding.
Right.
You wouldn't come up with a white person in the form that he is in just because he went up in the mountains in the cold.
Sure.
That doesn't make any sense. You got black people that have been living in the cold for thousands of years, and they're not white.
Right.
Nor did their nose get thinner. Nor
right.
did their hair get straighter.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And they still exist. Okay?
Sure.
They don't lose all their pigmentation.
Yeah.
So they still exist. Now, what we have to understand is a deep complexity of reality.
Sure.
We have an understanding of, first, when we look at Yaqub and the different reasons, like you can also get the Academy of Literature. That's a good book to get to speak about Yaqub. The Religion of Canaan is also a good book to speak about Yaqub. But what you will learn is that when you look at the Hittites and you look at the Hyksos, they have an entire thing when you're talking about in Armenia.
Sure.
In Armenia, the name Yaqub is used. They found artifacts of entire kingdoms sitting in Armenia. Okay?
Right.
Now,
right.
This is all Armenia, and you have a god by the name of Yaqub.
Sure.
I know this because I wrote the museum that's in Armenia in my research. And I also wrote a museum that was in Turkey.
Wow.
Because these were the regions for which, you know, the white man was dwelled out and ran up in at that particular time. These are the regions that these individuals went to. That's where they went, you know?
Right.
So.
Right. Right.
And I'm just saying, I don't want to cite everything because it'll be in the book form. I have a lot of information that's being presented to support the argument that Yaqub was a physical, flesh and blood human being. you have to understand that when we ran the white man up into the mountains, the message of Jesus that we took from him everything except the language and made him walk every step of the way. Okay?
Right.
We are taught that he went savage. So it wasn't that when the white man was first ran up into the mountains that he was a savage beast. That's not what he said. But after you deprive anything of light, savagery is a by default will occur.
Right. Yes, sir.
So the Holy Quran in Surah 18 begins to teach us. They talk about these youth that went up into the mountains, and that these two boys went up into the mountains in their youth. Some say that they were there for a certain amount of time. Others say they were there for a certain amount of time, but only Allah knows their real case. The Holy Quran goes a little bit further. The Holy Quran starts to discuss on a deeper level about this white man. And one of the things that he starts to discuss pertaining to the white man, he talks about how they was inside of the cave and how the light did not strike them. So that would mean that these individuals did not have sources of melanin, as what's being codified in the Holy Quran. Then it teaches us that the dog stayed on the outskirts of the cave with his legs stretched out.
Right.
Then later on in the same surah, the Holy Quran goes on to speak of how some say it was three, the dog being a fourth among them. Some say it was four, the dog being a fifth. But only Allah knew the real case, meaning that there was a state in their development as they devolved into barbarianism and animalistic behavior that these individuals could no longer be told apart from the dog.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Now we have in present discussion, I think the name of the island was Samoma, and it was supposedly a super volcanic explosion that had occurred. And supposedly this volcanic explosion blotted out the sun for 100 years. That is incorrect. Even in the writings by the people who made that statement, they did not state that the sun was blotted out for 100 years. They said that it was supposedly blotted out for 60 years.
Huh.
Okay? But let's go a little bit further. They had a research team in 2005 that came, I believe, from Oxford University, and they were studying to see that if this supervolcanic explosion occurred, which released the ash into the atmosphere, for which stayed there for a certain amount of time, blotted out the sun, caused climatical changes to the effect, for which would cause the disparagement movement of black people and things of that nature, then they wanted to question that. And what they questioned, they discovered that when they went up into India and those regions, they started to look at the ash. And they started to discover that they found forks and they found utensils of eating. So they started to say that this was such a deep climatic change, it didn't really affect them because the people kept going on as if nothing happened.
Right, right.
So what they did study was the ash residue that was found inside of an African river. And they started to question it. And they said, we have to now research and study more. But what they stated is that the so-called super explosion was not that great to cause such a climatic change, for which would eventually blot out the sun, and supposedly we would grow into from hominids into the color of Caucasian skin.
Right.
That's the most stupid and childish thing I've ever heard in my life. It's not supported by facts. It sounds very intelligent. But when you research deeper the complexity of that thought, then you get to an understanding. Because what they originally said was due to that, you know, we wasn't able to travel out to Africa and to those regions. But since they found forks and all of that stuff already up there, then they discovered that the African people had already traveled all the way into them regions.
Right.
Exactly. So then that would mean that did not take place to the extent that they had first believed.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it leaves us with a question. Where did the Caucasian man come from? Okay. Now, me personally, looking deeper into the sciences of things, I personally believe that the Caucasian man is a distant strand from the albino. Me, personally. without going into all the scientific words and what actually is chemical change that takes place to produce the albino, I'll keep things very light and very simple. Have you ever seen an albino from India?
Yes, if you because you showed me.
Of course. So when you look at the albinos from India, if you were not told what they were, what would you think they were?
White people.
They look just like Caucasian people.
Yes, sir.
They don't look like they're black. They don't even have the features. And that is because, as we know inside of the works of Greek historians, that there were two classes of Ethiopians. One was in India and one was in the regions that we have right now. And that the only difference from these two regions was that one had straight hair and had more Algonquin features, and another one had thicker noses and their hair was nappier, right? And thicker
right.
lips. Okay. So therefore, you have your Asiatic. You have your Asiatic Ethiopian, and then you have your Shabazzian Ethiopian.
Right.
Okay. And let's understand that at that time, the usage of the word Ethiopian by the Greeks surely was talking about a larger area than what we now solidify as being Ethiopia as a little portion of a corner in Africa.
Hmm.
That is what we said. But back then, that was not the same. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, one of the things that, that our brethren in the Nation of Islam, they have done great work in discussing, you know, the creation of the white man. And they have been able, without a shadow of a doubt, to prove that the white man was the byproduct of selective breeding by citing works from individuals such as National Geographic and the likes, for which it state in time periods that this white man was actually created, which was in a 6,600-year vacuum, so that this white man had come about. It wasn't that this white man came about because, oh, this is what happened. That's not what happened. You know, the majority of albinos, especially in scientifically wise, are byproduct of inbreeding. It is just not the missing of a particular transmutation of a particular biological strain, but it is also talking about that somewhere in their line, they are the byproduct of inbreeding. Okay?
Huh. Yes, sir.
So it is not whether if there's a question, if the white man came from us. Of course he came from us.
Right.
But in order for the white man to reach the stage of his development, then he must be secluded as a test subject in order for him to reach the final end of our albinism as he had reached.
Huh.
Other than that, let's think of this. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad posed a question to those that submitted to evolution. The question that they submitted was, then if man evolved from a monkey, then why did the monkey stop evolving?
Right. Right.
See, many people read the Vedas, for which is the writings in ancient India. And in reading the Vedas of ancient India, some of the things that people try to say is that it proves, because you have a monkey personage that's existing there, and then you have this black man, Rama, which is a god in that region, and this one right here is the rhesus monkey, which is an individual.
Right.
But if they studied the Vedas correctly, it is not that the man evolved from the monkey, but the monkey is a devolved human being.
Yes.
This is what the Vedas say. So they're reading it a little bit backwards, and they can study this to find it for themselves. They read it backwards. So if some of one of the most ancient of our writings ever produced, you have them being that the monkey is a devolved human being, not that man evolved from the monkey. You have
right.
a scientist that at this particular time, because you know the Holy Quran talks about it, as the white people was up into the mountains, that they were changed into apes and swine. But when you talk about turning into apes and swine, it is making reference to them losing a form of civilization. And in other words,
yes,
they went savage. We are taught within our lessons, number 2 of the 1 to 14, that savage is a person who lost the knowledge of himself and it was living a beast life.
Right.
So that would mean that these individuals, because of them being cast away up into the mountains, and they went into the regions of what would be Armenia, Turkey, and those particular hill regions, and that's where those individuals stayed.
Sure.
So it is talking about the people who had turned savage. It
sure
is not making reference to anything else. But let's
right
make a case
right
in point. Whether if the story of Yaqub have so many layers that an individual, whether from a scientific perspective, a historical perspective, a biological perspective, can find safety in understanding what it's stating. Let's say Yaqub is man himself. Then the question then arises, what are the processes that occurs within the human genome for which will produce something other than itself?
Hmm.
And ending in the production of something other than itself is not that for which we are producing really ourselves magnified along
hmm
the left side of the line.
Right.
Because, see, the most important question that many people ask is, they'd be worried about the weaker germ. The more of the question is, what was going on with inside the human family that gave conception to the weaker germ?
Hmm.
It's not the germ itself. It is what's going on in us for which would give birth to a weaker germ in order to set forth cells to produce an individual that will have an idea to produce from us a weakness that obviously had always existed.
Right.
We know that it existed because you have in the question of the deportation of the moon. And you have the
right
individual with the deportation of the moon, and we like, well, he didn't explore the moon. We know the moon come from the earth. We have documentation. You have it with the Mayans. You have it in all the ancient scriptures. You have NASA. You have scientists today tell you that the moon was at one time part of the earth. If we deal with the
right
Sumerians, you're talking about the earth being struck with one of the moons of Tiamat, and then the bottom part became Ea, the top part became Kingu. I mean, it depends
sure
on how other people choose to accept it, but the moon was a part of the earth. Okay?
Right.
Now, what we get is, what was the mentality of the god who blew up the moon, who destroyed this part of the earth and produced the moon? It's very simple.
Good question.
It has to have a form of arrogance. You have to have a form of ego. You have to have selfishness in order for such an individual to do such a thing. So if he was doing that, then that means those aspects and characteristics was already embellished with inside of the human family, and it was manifested in him.
Sure.
So in reality, those with the reality of the first God being manifested into reality or coming into conception within himself, the necessity of a Yaqub was already in place. Let's say Yaqub is not a personage. Let's say Yaqub is man himself. Let's say Yaqub is a concept.
Okay.
Then that would mean that Yaqub is me and you. If an individual have a negative thought, is that
true
the way that they originate a thought?
True. Not at all. Not at all.
So the minute that an individual has a negative thought, is he not grabbing himself out of the original state?
Yes, sir.
At that minute. So the cells of the body is a byproduct of our thinking and our diet.
Right. Right.
So it has always been more important to me not the deep complexities of the weaker germ being literal, which it is, but also the establishment of study of what was the thinking or the relationship of the quality of our mind that will produce a germ that could be produced to do what it does, you know?
Right, 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 right. Well, brother, I mean, you definitely broke down that to the T. And I mean, had I not witnessed this, you know, in personal conversation with you before, I would definitely. But it's still fascinating to hear again and to really think about and go into, because this is not something that you could process in one sitting. So it definitely takes many. But I myself, I'm probably going to wind this to a close because I have to, you know, get up in the morning. So I guess my last question to you is this, and this is along the lines of something I'm passionate about these days. So I always wanted to get your perspective on this because I was talking to the good brother, Noor, and he was talking about some things that he wanted to do come Thursday. When
right.
the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad speaks of separation, and there are many people who had this argument, you know, whether there should be, you know, separation from the white man as far as just in mind and body and soul. When you talk about separation and the messenger was building a nation, can you speak to separation from your perspective? Can you speak to separation and nationhood from your perspective? How important it is, how, you know, how much we need to work on this in the physical form.
Yeah. Well, my understanding of separation comes on many levels. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in the history of the Nation of Islam, gave a clue to something about Yaqub, and I'm going to answer that with this.
Yes, sir.
He said we call Yaqub Laboratory the human laboratory.
True.
So the human laboratory is very important. Within a human laboratory and in a laboratory, you have all types of experimentations that take place. And you separate organisms from each other to test them for their quality.
Right.
Okay. Now, when I say separation from the white man, you could take all the blacks right now and separate them from the white man, and you would still have niggas. Just being honest. And they will kill each other, majority. A lot of them will, okay? The first stages of separation that I think that we have to have is the separation of our minds within our minds. The other separation is we have to separate from each other. You have all types of fruit, as Prime Minister Alif always said. You have nuts, you have bananas, you have apples, you have oranges. You have all types
right.
of fruit. And when I speak of fruit, I'm not talking about confined to an organization. I'm talking about the Nation of Islam as expansive in a more general sense, in a more universal sense, talking about the original people as a whole.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
So when we're talking about separation, that is one of the most mandatory things that we have to do, physically separate amongst ourselves away from our known enemy, for which is the white man, but we also must separate from the enemy that we are not paying attention to.
Right. Come on with it.
And that enemy that we have to pay attention to is very clear. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us two things. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us in question number one, who is the original black man? He teaches in question number two, who is the colored man? I always say
right.
this. If you take a white piece of paper, and if you take it and you color it in, okay? And you take a white piece of paper and you don't have any color in it. If you look at the white piece of paper that has no color in it, you say that's a white piece of paper. But if a person drew something and they colored it in, you would say, who colored this picture in?
Right.
So in other words, you have first the original man, who is the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, father civilization and the original God of the universe, okay?
Yes, sir.
So we are being given When he makes that statement, we are actually being introduced to something. We're introduced to our true selves. But
right.
then he brings up a question. Who is the colored man? The Caucasian white man, the Yaqub scrapped the devil, the skunk of the planet Earth. But we are taught that Yaqub was an original black man and was the father of the devil. That he
right.
took the devil to do this devilishness. Okay? So it's important
right.
to understand that first we have an original man who by nature is the maker, owner, and God of the entire universe.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
But then you
right.
have this colored man who was created by this Yaqub or an original black man, and
sure.
that he grafted him out of us. So therefore, you come from first the original state to the dual aspect of your original nature, for which it is colored, meaning that it has been tampered with.
Sure.
You see? So it has been tampered with, and it has been transformed from its original state. And that is the reason why we are acknowledging inside of our lessons that the universe is everything, sun, moon, and stars. They are planets, planets are something made to grow up in the beginning, and only something that has been rooted or tampered with in any form. Now, why would he make a statement of such a thing? Why would he point out planets? And why would he say the solar system, we know it's 30 billion miles, for which the master form Muhammad taught his messenger, right?
Right, right.
Now he teaches us that that is something that has been grown and made from the beginning. So that means that that is something that is in accordance with the natural creation for which you were made today.
Sure.
And we use the word made because the most honorable Elijah told us that the white man was not something that was created, but was something that was made. Because when something is created, it is created from something that is not already in pre-existence, but something that is made, it is taken from material that is already in existence. So it is talking about the material for which the planets are formed from, whether it's matter and the movement of physics and the different rotation of vibratory rate of energies for which it will eventually give rise to them. But let's keep it to a state. When we're talking about a planet, you notice that the planets and all of them move by force or centrifugal force, and each one of them was in accordance and alignment for which the rotation for which they are gathered in by natural reality. We would say this natural reality is the will of Allah. This particular force for which axis lets it moves upon its axis in its rotation. So it is in accordance with its original state of being, right?
Sure. Yes, sir.
So it reaches out to us and it tells us upon this plane that in order for us to be in its original state or in our original state, because we're something made or grown from the beginning. Because the material for which forms our body is something that is taken from material that is already in pre-existence. And that's why the word made is used in number one of the 1 to 10.
Good.
Because this material is already in existence, right?
Right. Right, right, right.
But yet, when we look at the stars, the sun, moon, and stars, and the planets, when you are not in accordance with universal law, you suffer the consequences because being in accordance with universal law is to be in accordance with your divine nature.
That's right.
Right? That's
right.
Why the Holy Quran in Surah 30, Ayah 30, teaches us that Islam is the nature of creation. Right?
Yes, sir.
And it used the word fitra. And that particular word means to be cut out from something that's already in pre-existence. It's already in its original state. So it's a material that's already there, that's an original that it's cut out from. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about the nature of our being, then it's talking about being in accordance with universal law, being in accordance with the universal state of our existence. Then that is the state for which we're in. But because we have taken part and because we have become colored, by protection of our lower nature, we have no longer, we're no longer holy. We have been deluded, mixed, and trampled with in every form. So therefore, we suffer. So in order to separate from the white man, that's one stage. That's one state of freedom.
Right.
But the true freedom is to be separated from your lower nature within yourself. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that he was Yaqub in reverse. We must see that everything is one big laboratory. And that master for Muhammad exists because there was a Yaqub. Without Yaqub, there would be no need of a master for Muhammad.
Sure.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Without a doubt, my brother.
So the separation is on several planes, and it's mandatory that we separate on many planes of existence.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying? It's on many planes of existence. And if we don't separate of those planes, then we will suffer anyway.
Sure.
The weak germ can be destroyed by simply transmuting the lower frequencies of vibration to the higher. Come in accordance with universal law, and we are free. Ignore universal law, and we are slaves, bonded, and die.
Right.
And that's just that simple. So when we're looking at separation, that's my understanding of separation. It's easy to say we need to separate from the white man. That's just one stage.
Right.
The hardest war that we can ever enter is the war against our own Nas. That is a war. You see what I'm saying? That is a war. Yaqub didn't bring his people up on charges. He killed them when they didn't follow the law.
Right.
He killed them. He didn't play no games with them. He murdered them. So then we have to understand that we're inside of ourselves, that when whenever the different sources of our being is in violation of law, we cannot be merciful with it either. We have to clear it.
Sure. Sure.
You have to murder it. And that is the only way that we can be free by that.
Sure.
But other than that, I just say that we have different stages of development. And we have to fall ourselves, raise ourselves from out of those stages into a higher form. Because if the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, with Yaqub, he had helpmates. And the helpmates that he had, he had doctors, he had ministers, he had nurses, and he had a cremator.
Cremator, yes, sir.
Right? So when he teaches us that, then we understand that this is occurring to us as we are babies, right? Because the doctor symbolizes the health field. And it also, that's the health field on many levels, whether you're dealing with psychologists and whether you're dealing with different stages of development, education. All of that is under the field of doctors. When you talk about ministers, that means religion.
Sure.
When you talk about nurses, you're talking about imps that had bought into that particular system. So the evolution of our separation has to be from the health system, has to be from the educational system, has to be out of their religion.
Right, right, right.
Because following that leads us to the cremator. That is what leads us to the cremator. Because of that. So when we're looking at separation, depends on what we consider separation to be. Those that ascend to the mother plane at 150 pounds of an original is different from those who do not weigh properly.
Right.
And when I make reference, the Most High Elijah Muhammad said the mother plane had two meanings, had a spiritual and it had a literal.
Right,
in this
right.
particular reality, I take the spiritual because that's what matters most in the self-development of the individual. So if we're speaking about a mother plane, then we're talking about the higher levels of our consciousness.
Right.
So we have to weigh properly. And if we're going to weigh properly, then that means you must remove the baggage of the filthiness of our desires, the filthiness of our thinking, the filthiness of our lower nature, because it's baggage. You have to weigh the weight of original. You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
so that brings it to 150, just numerous. So you deal with six. Six is a sign of imperfection, but six is also a sign of creation.
True.
Six is the science of creation. So that the development of man from a stage into another stage. So the messenger teaches us that what is the devil? He teaches us, what is the word that we grafted man, which has been made weak or wicked, or any grafted live germ from the original, is a devil. What is a live germ? Why is it a distinction from a dead germ and a live germ? The germ is the basis of an organism from which things are born forth. It could be considered as a pathogen. A germ can also be considered an estrogen with changing the depths of things from where something is produced from, right? But
right.
A virile means that it is active. So when we look at things and we say a grafted man which has been made weak or wicked, or any grafted live joined from the original is a devil, do you think the message that teaches us that we are not a making model of the original man, for we have been experimented on by our enemies for 400 years? That's what he taught us.
Well, that's right.
So if that's what he teaches us, and that's where we exist in, then the question is, where did the world begin then? Because in the end of things, when you really look at it from the perspective of that, then what are we talking about? We've been grafted out economically. We've been grafted out from our original state with the foods that we eat, with the thinking that we have, from the music that we listen to, from the TVs that we watch. We are grafted.
Hmm.
And what Master Far Muhammad has set into place was to graft us back into the original man. And that is what we are in war with. So when we're talking about separation, what type of separation are we talking about? Which one is more detrimental at this time? Because in order for you to get the physical separation from the enemy, you must first get the mental separation from the enemy in yourself.
Right.
If you don't get that one first, then you're done anyway.
Right. Right.
So that,
right,
that's
my not,
okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to wrap it up because I gotta
keep
going. So I really, really, really thank you for coming on my show. You definitely dropped bombs and split atoms, and this is a show that I will listen to many times. I know my listeners will. We had some callers, nobody put their hand up to ask questions. So maybe if we have a little bit more time to promote next time, we can get more callers. So I would hope that you could come on in about 2 weeks from now. I would be honored to have
yes,
you.
Sir. That's not a problem.
That's fantastic, my brother. Listen, I love you, my brother. I admire your work and your wisdom.
You, brother, minister.
And I hope and pray that everything is successful for you, and I will see you in 2 weeks.
Peace to the black God. Salam alaikum, sir.
Yes, sir. Allah salam, big brother. Brothers and sisters, as I came before you, I dismiss myself in the greeting words of peace, most humbly. Assalamu alaikum.
It's only natural, actual facts are thrown at you. The impact will blow trees back and crack statues. $1 million rap crews full, check the six shit, explicit. I crystallize around so you can sniff it. We live this, fit it.